From the Hagee Ministry Studio in San Antonio, Texas, join us for The Difference with author and leadership strategist Eric Van Alstyne as we explore the power of perception.
When people start to understand their perceptual limits, the fact that we're mostly blind, it starts transforming. I had a massive love revolution. If my wife was here talking to you today, she would tell you, it changed me. And if it can change me, it can change anybody. That's my message to some of these leaders.
Hello and welcome to The Difference today. Kendall and I are so excited to have one of our favorite people on the set, Eric Van Alstyne. He is the author of a series of books on the topic of perceptual intelligence, the first of which is Automatic Influence. Eric, what other books are in this series?
Oh my goodness, I don't think we have enough time to talk about all that, but there's a lot. I've actually got 7 books done right now. But the publishing is waiting for some of the things to happen that really need to happen from a business perspective, because what we do is a lot of training. We're helping people. We're getting out into the market. And so there's a lot coming down the line, and I'm excited about it. But yes, this is the first in the Perceptual Intelligence series.
And Automatic Influence is something that I've shared with people as something that has benefited my life. But it wasn't just a moment when I recognized how, you know, perception impacted the decisions I made professionally. It started to impact the relationship at home,
kids.
You know, where the conversations changed and the questions changed and the statements changed, because I would stop and ask myself, how am I seeing this versus what's being communicated, and what can we do to have a better outcome?
Yes.
And this is how I became familiar with the concept of perceptual intelligence. What, in
what
your
is it?
Words,
define that.
Oh, is yeah, yes. Perceptual intelligence?
Well, I don't know. I'm kidding. I do know, but it's basically... I would call it almost like a philosophy of leadership or a philosophy of influence that helps us understand that perception, meaning the way we see ourselves, others, situations in life, and it's not just physical sight I'm talking about, but with the way we understand and the way we interpret, the way we imagine, the way we remember, anything that's kind of playing on the movie screen of the mind, these things automatically influence our emotions, motivations, and then behaviors. So if you're trying to get to the bottom of the issues, you have to get to the perceptions that drive these things. It's, you know, a lot of times people say things like change your attitude. And, you know, while that's a good idea to do that, it's not the most effective way, because there's a perception underneath it that's creating that attitude. So instead of saying change your behavior and attitude only, if you could get to the bottom of those, get to the root causes where the perceptions are, then it's amazing how things change. And by the way, in the wedding or the marriage kind of scenario, it's amazing how profoundly transforming it is for someone to say, I could be wrong, and I often am, to their spouse. And to honestly say that, it's not a joke, but it is a good joke, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and
she's saying that's the truth.
It is.
I don't want to get in between you two, but...
You've been there for a while. Now, you've heard the definition of perceptual intelligence from the individual who authored the book.
Yes.
Let's see what some folks out on the street had to say about their definitions of what perceptual intelligence is to them.
Ooh, that could be something you can obtain.
Are you smart?
It could be different kinds of intelligence. Someone doesn't have to have a high IQ to be intelligent.
Ooh, that's good. That was good.
Looking at somebody and saying, are you smart or are you dumb? I'm perceiving how intelligent you are, which is probably completely wrong. But
I think it's where you get information to your brain.
Perceptual intelligence can be maybe discernment that he gives you, to where you just have that inclination like, Holy Spirit, I'm feeling something. And I think it's just, you dropped it on me just now.
She did a good job.
Is that like ESPN where you can like read the future? Probably not. I have a feeling it's got something to do with how you process life.
I think it is something where you learn in math.
My dad has PI.
You know, the thing that's interesting about all of those answers is that there's a measure of each of them that's correct, And then a little bit of things that need to be, you know, adjusted. Now, yeah. I think it's probably easier to adjust the smaller audience than it is the larger one.
That's true.
But, you know, when people talk about perceptual intelligence, there's been a lot of conversation about IQ, EQ, yep. AQ, mm-hmm. and this fits into that equation and,
yes,
and really
does.
Impacts all of them. So how does
yeah.
it work?
So, I mean, we all know the emotional intelligence argument, that you can be really smart, but if you're not aware of other people's emotions and your own emotions, I mean, you can really mess things up. Mm-hmm. So we're completely in alignment with that, but keep in mind we're talking about the fact that perception, meaning the way we see self, others, and situations in life, and not just physical sight, but the way we understand, interpret, what we focus on, what we choose not to focus on, what we remember, what we imagine, all that stuff playing on the movie screen of the mind creates emotions. So we're really talking about perceptual intelligence as something that's underneath and is the root of emotional intelligence. So it's really important to be able to understand your own emotions and understand other people's emotions as they're happening. But the challenge is that a lot of emotional intelligence can't manage those emotions very well because all they're telling you is what they are, not how to make them more constructive. And we really believe that if we can get to the root of the emotional and motivational challenges, we can fix those things automatically. So it's very powerful. It's perfectly complementary. And they're always saying, you know, EQ trumps IQ, right? You can be very smart, but you can be, if you're not emotionally intelligent, you can't really get along with people and get things done in a workplace environment. You're not as healthy in your relationships. What we're saying is that PQ drives EQ. So mm-hmm. perceptual intelligence, or PI, whatever, however you yeah. want to describe it. Yeah. Perceptual intelligence is the root of it. And when we can start to deal with those root causes of these challenges, man, it's transforming. Transforming.
Yeah. Well, and you said something about how you see yourself, how you see others, and how you see situations. Mm-hmm. And I think it's remarkable when you begin to recognize how quickly you mm. see all three of those things
yep.
and then make very long-lasting decisions instantaneously.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Well, it's the mind is so powerful. It's intuitive, right? Yeah. Most of our reasoning, we think, well, 2 + 2 = 4. We're doing these logical analysis. That's just not the way we reason. It's a super fast, intuitive, instant reasoning. It all is reasonable under the surface. In fact, it's crazy is that perceptual intelligence teaches that all emotion is actually reasonable, meaning that it's being driven by a deeper reasoning that tells us, using our reasoning, what something is and how good or bad it is. Then you feel good and feel bad in response to that. So it's reasoning, but it's this very deep, intuitive, fast reasoning. So in a blink, we're making assessments about things, and then we're jumping from one thing to another. Blink, 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 right? So this mind is amazing. It is it's the most complex thing in the universe. Right? And so a lot of things going on there we don't even understand. But it's amazing how that reasoning happens so quickly. You're totally right. Super fast.
Well, and speaking of things that happen quick, we're getting ready to go to a quick commercial break. But when we come back, Kendall and I are going to have more to say about perceptual intelligence and the impact it has in your everyday life. Don't go away. You're watching The Difference.
2,000 years ago, God sent the world an unexpected gift.
As we celebrate Christmas with family and friends, take a moment to share the greatest story ever told, that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world that we might live and have everlasting life through Him.
This month, as a special gift for your donation of any amount, we'll send you a card stack of Diana Hagee's favorite recipes, along with a wooden display stand. For your gift of $200 or more, we'll include Diana's commemorative edition of the Not By Bread Alone cookbook, an accompanying cheese board and dish towel. This set makes a wonderful gift for a loved one and enables us to share the gospel around the world.
From everyone here at Hagee Ministries, Merry Christmas. There is no greater present than the gift of God's love and salvation.
Send your best gift today. Call the number on the screen or visit jhm.org/holiday.
We're back with Eric talking about perceptual intelligence. But before, I just want to rewind about the marriage question. You said about what I may be wrong.
Yes, it's
but
the, yes, I may be wrong. I could be wrong, and I often am.
And that's good.
Yeah, that's super good
now,
for Matt.
Is
it's
as
also
say,
good for each other.
Is this a comment that you expect both to exchange?
Well, yeah. Okay, so here's the challenge. Most of us are under this assumption that we pretty much see everything. This is one of the first, what I call, counterintuitive ideas about perception. We have this illusion that we're basically catching it all. It's almost like this weird assumption of omniscience. I am a walking God on earth. I pretty much know everything. I don't need to listen much. Listening is for people who need to know things. Listening is for ignorant people. I know everything. You need to listen to me. That's the default kind of mindset,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. As opposed to that.
every spouse could. So when people start to understand their perceptual limits, the fact that we're mostly blind, it starts transforming because I want to listen now. Instead of assuming that I know everything and you're just doing nothing but wasting my time, I'm waiting for you to stop talking so I could start, which is typical.
Typical of a husband.
Now I'm actually listening to you because I could be wrong and I often am. It's an attitude of humility that comes from naturally seeing our perceptual limits. And when spouses both have this, it's really good. When only one has it, it can tend to get slightly abusive.
So how do you get it?
How do you get it? Okay, so this
it's
is
in chapter 5.
Yes, it is.
Tell me what I need to do, the steps to get this.
Exactly, is to get him to get this. Okay. That's typical. You know, that's the typical response.
Well, I'm just trying to take ownership too of myself. I need to work on myself. So if I get it, you get it, then it's gonna.
I'm telling you.
Contagious. Like if you get it, I'm gonna catch it.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it'll help and.
Someone's going to go there with references to contagions. But it is slightly contagious. But the truth is, it's something that has to be deeply embedded in us because it's counterintuitive. We believe the opposite by default. So we have to build what I call new perceptual habits, meaning habits of seeing self differently. This is not something that you can just snap your fingers and do. Yeah. So we have a 9-hour course. 19 lessons, certification tests. We teach this in companies, not in like one session, because it's not like, hey, 4 hours and you get this. We're there for years with them. We've had some companies say, we're going to go to $1 billion strong and as a culture because you're going to help us build leaders that are willing to say, I don't know all the answers. I need to bring the right people in, make great decisions together. Everybody's aligned and on board. We can really move things. I mean, when everybody in an organization is paddling the best direction together, they're unstoppable.
Yes.
But typically they're not doing that because one person's saying, basically, I know it all, and all the other know-it-alls in the room believe the same thing. And so what you've got is a bunch of arrogant conflict instead of humble collaboration. So that's the same thing in a marriage.
Marriage, but this is something that I've shared with you and you know, be glad to say here to our audience that's watching today. As much as this is working in corporations and helping them improve their culture and their outcomes, there's such a broad brush to the information that it works for husbands and wives.
Yes.
It works for parents of teenagers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we've got a 15-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And we love her dearly.
We do.
But she is very different than she was when she was my 5-year-old daughter.
Yes.
And it's very easy for me to look at her at 15 and go, what changed? When you were 5, I would say something and you automatically believed me. You accepted all these details and all of a sudden this great deal of intelligence and cynicism has saturated the teenage being of yourself.
Yes. And I had 5 teenagers at one time.
And you've got 6 kids.
You know, of 6. So that makes me the dumbest man on earth 5 times over for a stage. But it's amazing what happened as they grew. My youngest is 21 now. Uh-huh. And you know, I don't know if you guys ever heard that old Mark Twain story. He says, when I was 15, my old man was so dumb I could barely stand to have that guy around. But when I turned 20, it's amazing how much that guy had learned in 5 years. So there's this mindset. I think the teenage mindset is the frontal lobe of their brain isn't fully developed. So I try to tell my kids that, hey, give some guy that actually has a full frontal lobe the ability to help guide you. Because it's really important. The brain isn't fully developed until you're about 25. And that's the ability to see the future, to see the consequences of decisions, to see beyond. Remember we talked about how people
long-term.
See short.
Yeah.
Right? They see short-term, they don't see long-term. And the truth is, the world is set up so there's a lot of things that seem good now that aren't good later. And we created a lot of controversy in our conversation last night about this, which we won't repeat.
Well, smoking.
Perfect example.
You know, when in the 40s, smoking was so mainstream,
absolutely.
It was socially acceptable. There were smoking rooms, there were smoking jackets.
Oh, and fabulous. And people, doctors smoked.
Yeah, people
while they're curing, working on you, like, hey, you need some of this, I'm smoking.
People talked about the benefits of the calming agents of the nicotine and all these different deals.
True.
And in the short term, That's true.
Fabulous.
30 years later, you have an entire generation that's plagued with emphysema and all these carcinogenic issues that were created because of years of smoking that they had no idea was going to be a long-term outcome of the short-term decision.
Exactly.
And it has to do with a willingness to see beyond what is now.
Exactly.
In order to have the good of tomorrow.
Yeah, it's good now. Bad later. Good short, bad long. There's a lot of stuff in that. In fact, the Bible describes sin as fleeting pleasures, right? Fleeting pleasures. So it's the idea that it's good right now, but way bad later. And if anyone could actually see the long term, they would never want to do these things because they know that, hey, it's a little bit of pleasure now and a lot of pain later. Who would trade a dollar of pleasure for $1 million of pain? Nobody's that dumb. Uh-uh. But they don't see the $1 million of pain that follow.
And
so they're easily doing it.
Parent,
and that's a teenager.
So
yeah, that's a 15-year-old.
How do you rear like a 15-year-old to, okay,
with
your
patience.
Brain's not... Yeah, with patience, with grace, but...
Yeah, I think they have to almost be prepped. They have to believe somehow, maybe if you catch them by the time they're like 10... or 11, 12, and say, listen, we're going into a phase here, and I want to prepare you. You're not in that now.
Yeah.
But the point is, if someone could truly see their own limits, and this is part of humility. I think part of the problem with teenagers is the same arrogance that we all deal with. It's what got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. Arrogance is the number one prime sin. This sense of what was the temptation? You will be as gods. We think we're virtually omniscient. I mean, we're kind of taking on godlike qualities, at least in our view of the world, meaning that I am the universe. Everything is about me, right? That's the kind of this typical narcissism is that this little tiny, you know, world that is me is everything.
It turns around me.
Everything, yeah. It's you know, enough about you. Let's, you know, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me? I mean, it always seems to come
back to
me.
Yeah.
You know, and the truth is, we're always seeing out of our own eyes. So it's easy. I would call us structurally self-centered, meaning that every experience of our life is always from inside our eyes. It's me watching my television. It's my view. I'm always, no matter what I'm experiencing. So your experiences are out there in some strange world that I actually have to listen to understand, and no one really does that. I mean, that's hard work, and why do it, right? So a lot, that's the default mindset is,
correct.
I know my own needs and my own pains and my own pleasures very well. Yours, they don't really matter as much to me, and they're hard for me to understand because it's all, you know, everything's about my world. So I think there's just this natural structural arrogance in human nature that comes from only seeing here and now, not seeing the long, only seeing the short. And that if people can see that that is a problem, then I think they start to root in humility and teachability. Yeah. In fact, we've been doing some work with fast food. Fast food industry is onboarding 16-year-olds, sometimes onboarding people that could even be homeless, giving them a new start at life. So what they're trying to do is get these folks to be teachable. So they take them through little sections of our course in order to get them to be willing to admit that I could be wrong.
I often am. Teach me.
And then they start teaching them how to cook chicken or make burgers or whatever.
Yeah. Well, one of the most influential and powerful statements that any human being makes, whether they realize it or not, is the way I see it. Fill in the blank. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the impact of those words on your life and how you cannot erase what you see, but you do have to replace what you see with something that's a greater reality. You're watching The Difference. We'll be right back with Eric Van Alstine after this.
So my parents, they have been a huge influence in my life since day one. My mom and dad, they put so much time and dedication into preaching to others and showing God's light through them. And that's what I want to do someday, is show God's light through me. I'm so proud of them and what they've been doing through their ministry and The Difference Show and all their podcasts and all their music and all their radio talks and all that stuff. It's just amazing. Mom, Dad, thank you for all your time, all of your dedication, all of your hard work, everything you put into this ministry to show God's light through you. Thank you for helping us kids even through it all, because I know our schedules are crazy, but yet you still have time to work with others, to lead others, to guide others in the way that God wants us to grow, that God wants to lead us through. So thank you for being a big influence in my life. I'm so proud of y'all. I love you.
See the Bible come to life by standing in the very places where the stories of the Holy Scriptures unfolded. Join Pastors John and Matt Hagee on this extraordinary tour of the Holy Land. Visit historical sites such as the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount, float upon the waters of the Dead Sea, and pray at the Western Wall. Join us November 6th through the 16th, 2023. For more information, call the number on screen or go to jhm.org.
Here at Hagee Ministries, we're excited to announce our digital web platforms that provide you with live streaming services, special messages, and series, all through our video on-demand applications. Our Hagee Ministries channel app is now available on Apple TV, Amazon, and Roku streaming platforms. You can also watch our services live on your favorite social media channels, including YouTube, Facebook, or online at jhm.org/watch.
Welcome back to The Difference. Eric, earlier in our show, we asked some of our viewers what they thought about perceptual intelligence. We've got a few more segments from folks out on the street, and we want to find out what you have to say about their thoughts.
Eric, how can perceptual intelligence help me in marriage?
What the heck is PI? Let's start there. And secondly, how could perceptual intelligence help me in the workplace and with my coworkers and everything that I do and around me?
I've been married now 35 years, so it's different each time, you know, throughout the years. So how can perceptual intelligence help me with my marriage now?
So some of it we discussed, you know, talking about marriage, and what is it that you would say to each of these individuals if they were sitting down on the other side of the couch from you?
Okay, so first of all, there's three questions I'm trying to remember.
Marriage,
all of them, so.
Work, and then the different stages of marriage.
Okay, so I would say in marriage, we've already had some conversations about
yes.
that. So it's very powerful to admit our own lack of awareness and be mm-hmm. willing to listen to other people. What a concept,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Listening is very powerful.
Yeah.
And actual listening as opposed to biding your time.
Phone.
Yeah, I'm listening
sure.
to you. I'm listening to you.
And
I think
it's interesting, you know, you had two marriage statements in that mm-hmm. in that segment. One was from a man, the other from a woman.
Yes.
The
yes.
man talks about marriage. It's just this
yeah.
big general thing.
What does PI have to do with marriage?
A woman says stages of marriage.
Yes.
And so I think you get some insight into a female's perspective of the relationship, that it goes through seasons. It's got all these, you know, ups and downs.
And
a man looks at it like, I got married, I'm still married, it's just
yep.
marriage. It's
yes, yeah. I mean, obviously we think differently. And so that there's nothing wrong with that. I think that is the beauty of marriage,
yeah.
if we're willing to appreciate each other. Now, we teach what we call four prime perceptions. And I can't get deep into this because they're so profound. They're almost like icebergs,
yeah.
right? There's a little white on the top, and oh my gosh, the weight on the bottom of this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that the first one is the root of empowerment, power over our emotions, to be functional instead of dysfunctional, to be constructive, highly constructive, instead of less constructive or even destructive. So that's going to contribute to marriage. That empowerment is some of the most validating stuff I've ever seen, because it says basically we're dealing with the roots of self-control. We don't have to say get a grip on yourself so much as we have to change the things that cause us to lose our grip in the first place. And what I mean by losing our grip would be anger, hostility, resentment, all the things that you'd see in a relationship as we're hopefully sharpening each other. Another one is the root of love. And I can tell you, as a typical business leader, which is high drive, low empathy, okay, and this self-confidence, that you typically aren't good at love. You can do the right things, you can go through the motions, but actually having authentic emotion, really being there for your spouse, that is not common for my personality type. I had a massive love revolution. If my wife was here talking to you today, she would tell you, it changed me. And if it can
wow.
change me, it can change anybody. That's my message to some of these leaders. So that's a huge contributor to marriage. So it's the roots of power, the roots of humility, the roots of love, and also the roots of peacemaking. The reason conflict gets created typically has to do with the way we see ourselves doing things good, the way we intend good while doing things that aren't. It's hard to imagine
yeah.
ourselves ever doing anything wrong, because we know it all and we always intend good. But from that mindset, by the way, if you go to talk to anybody in prison, they're going to tell you the same thing. They had good intent. They are not there because they should be there. It was an injustice, okay?
Yeah.
Everyone on earth has good intent while doing things that aren't good. but they're blind to that. So that means they can't resolve conflict because they can never truly admit they're wrong. So anyway, all those things, power, humility, love, peace, massively transforming for marriages. Yeah. The mind is very limited. Conscious thought, really, you only have room for one thought at a time. Mm-hmm. So it's hard, for example, to focus on the spelling of a word and not miss its meaning at the same time.
Yeah,
so there's this very, very small capacity. It's almost like imagine your brain is a bingo ball tumbler. You know, all these bingo balls of thoughts coming down, but only one ball per moment can come down that thought slot, right? So that means if there's a good ball in the slot, nothing else can get in.
Yeah, you're fine.
So your focus replaces anything else. So if you're focused on the goodness of God, mm-hmm. or you're focused on the good things in life, you have in that moment blocked out other things. So you've made this choice to lock on and block out that can be either constructive or productive.
Yeah. Now, one of the places where we see individuals replace the pain of life with the promise of tomorrow is at the Sanctuary of Hope. I want you to take a moment and consider what the Sanctuary of Hope is doing in the lives of young ladies all over this area and find out how you can be a part.
The life of a child is precious in God's eyes, and the gift of life is something you can become a part of today. We at Hagee Ministries are offering you the opportunity to change the life of a child and mother by becoming a legacy partner. As a legacy partner, your monthly gift supports the Sanctuary of Hope, that is a one-of-a-kind safe haven that provides a home to single expectant mothers and offers resources that will enable them to find success in their communities. The Sanctuary of Hope exists to provide a loving, safe environment where both baby and mother can receive the education, care, and hope they so desperately need. When you partner with us, our legacy becomes your legacy, and together we are impacting lives and transforming nations for Jesus Christ. There has never been a better time to share the love of Christ with a mother and a child than right now. Become a legacy partner today. Call the number on the screen or go to jhm.org/partner.
Kendall and I want to thank our guest, Eric Van Alstyne, for being here with us today. Not only sharing about the power of perceptual intelligence, but giving us information that enables us to change the world that we're living in. If you'd like to find out more information about how you can get your hands on automatic influence and begin the process of seeing things from a different perspective, I encourage you to go to ericvanalstyne.com. I also want you to know that here at The Difference, we pray that today's program made a difference in your everyday life as you change the world around you. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you soon from Hagee Ministries.